Here's a question for you. What is your only comfort in this life and in death? Is it Christ? Or is it something else? Or do you even have hope? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
For those who have salvation, for those who've been bought and purchased, God is watching over the very hairs of our head. When one of those hairs falls out, do you know God takes notice of that? He uses that to say that's how deep His care is for those who belong to Jesus.
Now that's comforting. Hi there. Welcome to today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon and I spent some time in studio today taking a look at this Heidelberg Catechism. Now, before you go off going, oh, I don't know about catechism, let's talk about that. What is a catechism and why is it so important? And then we'll take a look at the first question and answer in the Heidelberg. It's an encouraging day today. Stick around. Let's get going. So, Chris, as we venture into this this amazing document called the Heidelberg Catechism, I know we have a lot of listeners who are wondering just what is a catechism. I think we've lost a lot of history in the last generation or two. And why? Why is this important? I mean, isn't the Bible sufficient? Isn't it enough, right? Those are some of the questions that we usually get when we talk about catechisms. So why a catechism, period? And then specifically, why the Heidelberg as opposed to, say, the Belgic or the Westminster? All right, so we'll start there, and then what we're going to do is dive right into Lord's Day 1. And boy, if ever there was a world in need of an answer to Lord's Day 1, it's this one we live in, right?
Yeah, this is going to be a little different for, I think, some of our listeners. I mean, not if they've listened to Abounding Grace Radio. We have referred to what's known as the Heidelberg Catechism many times. Years ago, Pastor Mike Brown and I went through this on Abounding Grace, and It was a great blessing. Then I look forward to what we're going to do, Andy, together with this, because I think we're going to really show how practical this document is for Christian life, understanding the whole of the Christian faith. But that's the first thing to say is that one of the reasons that catechisms, and that's sort of a dirty word for many people in Christianity today, we react really against anything formal, and we're worried about anything that's too churchy and documents and things like that. Like I said before, we usually like the phrase no creed but Christ, which is a creed. So a creed, a confession, are simply documents that the church has agreed to and believed to help Christians understand the faith. And what a day. We need that, don't we, today? So at the time of the Reformation, there had been so much confusion because people did not have the Bible in their own language. One of the gifts of the Reformation that happened in the 16th century was to give back the Bible to the people in their own native tongues. So you had Luther who would translate the Bible into German. And then, shortly after, then they realized that these new Christians or Christians that had always been Christians didn't even know anything of the faith because Rome had kept that all undercover. You couldn't read the Bible, number one, and you didn't have the right as an individual Christian to really take it upon yourself to interpret any Christian doctrine. It was all to be done through the priest. So the point here is that the Reformation not only gave us back the Bible, but then they helped us understand by writing down in question and answer formats the basics to what we believe. And it was in a response to the Protestant creeds and confessions that the Roman Catholics began to write their own. Most Christians today in Protestant churches and Christian churches assume that any creed or catechism is a Roman Catholic thing. And actually, not knowing their own history, these are our things. That's how Christians were able to grow and understand the Christian faith. The beauty of the Heidelberg Catechism is it was written in 1563. And commissioned to a young scholar named Zacharias Ursinus, who helped us by writing down in the 53 Sundays of a year, in the course of a year, all the major points of the Christian faith, so that we would have a good understanding of it. So 53 Lord's Days, and it all comes in question and answer format, with some of the most helpful question and answers, so that the Christian would be equipped to know what he believes and why he believes it. And that is so important for us today. I find today, Andy, that when new Christians come into the church, they're looking for roots, they're looking for substance. And when they get a hold of something like the Heidelberg Catechism, they say, where has this been my whole life? They're summary statements of Scripture. They're helping me understand what the Bible teaches. That's what we do in theology. So our encouragement on Abounding Grace is to help us, you see, how necessary these are for growth in what we believe.
And again, for our listeners, the word catechism, which, like you said, can be a boogie word, you know, for so many. Oh, we don't want to do that. Thing is, when you send your kid to school, that's exactly how they learn. The teacher stands up, asks questions, and the child answers, and you learn. And catechize, or catechism, simply means to learn from question and answer. And so in wisdom, the authors of this, of all these amazing doctrines, not just the Heidelberg, but again, the Dort, the Westminster, man, they are some amazing, God gave them amazing wisdom to lay all of this stuff out for us. And boy, do we benefit from it today, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. I think we're going to demonstrate that right now. That's the good thing here. We're going to show you how helpful this document is to your faith.
So we'll start with Lord's Day 1, and instead of reading the question first, I'm going to lay out the scenario for why this question, and even more importantly, the answer to the question, has so much relevance and significance for us today. Turn on the TV, watch news for about half an hour, 15 minutes even. Take a look at the neighborhoods around you, how we live, the pace we live, and the challenges that we face on a day-to-day basis. If you're like me, man, that just generates all kinds of anxiety, uncertainty, foreboding. Man, this is we live in a culture, Chris, that is really just so uncertain. And it is there that we need amazing comfort, and that is our first question. What is your only comfort in life and in death?
Let's just illustrate that very point by a few events that have happened recently. And in any given week, there's always some event that happens in our world, in our nation, in our culture. It's something that is distressing and that causes people a lot of fear. I think fear is a really good word. Let's just take the Kobe Bryant situation. What a terrible thing that happened, that Kobe and his daughter died in a helicopter crash. And of course, this was all placarded all over the news. This is all we've heard for you know, the last weeks. But this last week, there was a service at the Staples Center. And as that whole place was filled up, Jimmy Kimmel, of course, came up, and he was one of the ones that really sort of officiated that service. It's supposed to be a celebration of life service. And in the course of right at the beginning of the whole service, Kimmel says, "I'm trying to find something good in this, and I have nothing to say. I can't find anything. The only thing I can find," essentially, I'm summarizing here, "is that you don't know when your time is. We don't know how long we have here. So basically, be thankful and live it up. Enjoy what you have for the time you have it." You know, I as I sat there, and then I listened to people say something like, "Well, Kobe is now, and his daughter moved from one basketball court to another in heaven." I kept thinking to myself, is anyone going to answer the question of why did this happen? How could this have happened? Why death? Why did he die? If it's just transferring courts up into heaven, what caused this terrible thing of death to come about? Why do we have to die? And if God says that the wages of sin is death, I don't think we're just transferring courts. So we have to have something that happens to be able to come back into his presence in real favor. None of these questions of life were addressed at all in this service. It was all temporary. It was all laughs. You know, it was entertainment. But the real issues of life were not addressed. And I'm looking at NBA players who look broken and crushed. They weren't given any answers in this. Now, I wish I had that pulpit that day. I wish I could have spoke at the Staples Center that day, because there's a message that we have. And I think to myself, to be able to preach the gospel to these people and to be able to give real and lasting message of hope and comfort, And an answer to the sin and misery that brings about death is what people need most. And that's where we play dodgeball. So the first question of the Heidelberg Catechism is really important, isn't it, Andy? What is your only comfort in life and in death? I need comfort. You need comfort because we are in misery. Sin has wrecked everything. Think of the fears right now. The second issue I could raise is the coronavirus. I mean, you know, this being politicized and this is just big discussion. And but what really interests me is the fear that is gripping people right now. What if this was air transmitted and if you got it, you could die? You know, that happened to a third of the population in the Black Plague in the 14th century. You see, we don't think about these things very much, but you see the fear gripping people. There's no perspective. And I noticed in even Milan, Italy, my friend who's a pastor there sent me pictures of grocery stores empty, of people panicked and stockpiling. We're trying so desperately to hold on to our life here because we have no perspective of comfort in life and in death. And that's why this is so helpful for us to think about the real issues of life. Can you have any real certainty, any real peace, any real comfort in the midst of death that is reigning all around us, and that we ourselves have no guarantee that we will be here tomorrow?
And that is the wisdom of the Catechism, isn't it? That we don't just address a comfort that is momentary in this life, but it also addresses the life to come as well.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, anxiety, all those fears, those are all symptoms of our greatest problem. Right? The greatest issue of life that we need to address. The wages of sin is death. That's why we're dying. That's why all this misery and sadness is happening. And so this first question is so beautiful. What is my only comfort in life and in death? Notice how personal that is. What is my only comfort? Doesn't sound like a dry, stuffy document, does it, Andy? It's asking the question, you, dear listener, can have real comfort in this life. And here's where that comfort is found. Here's the beginning of that answer. That I am not my own, but that I am bought, you know, that I belong body and soul, you know, to the precious, by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and set me free from the tyranny of the devil. And he also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. That's just part of the answer here. But what a beautiful statement, isn't it? I belong in body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. I've been purchased. I have a new identity. I've been bought. Somebody else owns my life. Somebody else controls my life. And who is that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is truly God and truly man who's come to rescue me and save me and buy me back, redeem me so that I can have life again and I can truly live. And if you go through this this Lord's Day, think of the wonderful, comforting statements that are made right at the beginning here. I mean, they just don't get any better than this. Think of what's said here. I belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. What has he done for me? What is the big thing that the Lord has done for me? He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood. That's the answer that should have been announced at the Staples Center the other day. That this terrible thing that's happened, death, do you know you can escape the everlasting punishment that's coming by having all your sins forgiven right now? And who in here has not sinned? Who in here has not done terrible things in the course of their lives? We know enough of these stars' lives that are open before us, and the immorality and the terrible sins that are always placarded in the news before us of these people that are sitting there, Beyonce singing and Jay-Z and all of them sitting there, they need their sins forgiven. I need my sins forgiven. I'm no better. And this is the announcement right at the beginning that the real comfort we can have in this life is a knowledge that Jesus has forgiven every last one of my sins and, it goes on, set me free from the tyranny of the devil. Do you know we're being, you know, the tyranny we're being, his tyranny is constantly attacking us and assaulting us in this life? the darkness, the wickedness. He started this mess from the beginning by seducing and telling people to believe the lie, right? Adam and Eve, you know, God is oppressive and God's holding you back. You can go live and do and be whatever you want to be, and you can go have happiness your way. And it brought us into ruin. That was at the devil's instigation. It is a tyranny that people are under. And that's where I think, you know, we've talked about before on Abounding Grace, you're either in the darkness or you're in the light. You're either a son of the Lord or you're either a son of Satan. That's the language of Jesus, a child of the devil. And the power of Christ is to set you free and bring you into the light, bring you into a place of hope and peace and comfort and forgiveness. So these are wonderful statements that are being made here, and I think this is exactly what the world needs to hear right now.
Well, it does need to hear this, and it's interesting because we laid out a couple of scenarios as we look at this first question and answer in the Heidelberg, and you went right to death, but there's also a life that we live as well before death. So let's talk about that for a little bit and explore that road as well, because that's equally important, isn't it?
You asked about the worries of life.
Yes.
So I went right to the big issue, death, right? That death looms over all of us, that it can come at any time, that we can die. And you can be set free to know that when you die, you go immediately to be with the Lord. We're going to look at that in the course of this teaching. But then there's this, you also mentioned all the anxieties of life, all the fears of life, all the hardships of life. How much anxiety are people going through? And Lord's Day 1, in that same question and answer, notice the way this is broken up. I'm not my own, but belong. I have a real identity. I have a new identity. I belong to someone, body and soul and life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Number one, he's fully paid for all my sins. Number two, he set me free from the tyranny of the devil. And then number three, this gets to your initial question. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. That is looking at all of life now, every circumstance under God's care and providence, that he is watching over our lives. You know, Andy, I know you well enough to say you've probably lost some hairs over time, haven't you?
A handful, and a bunch have gone into witness protection in my ears.
So think of this truth. Do you know how great the care of God is? For those who have salvation, for those who've been bought and purchased, God is watching over our Heavenly Father, the very hairs of our head. When one of those hairs falls out, we think nothing of it unless we're worried about going bald. But when one of those hairs falls out, do you know God takes notice of that? He uses that to say that's how deep his care is for those who belong to Jesus. Now, that care is not for everyone. In other words, if people have not believed in the Lord, and people have not repented of their sins, and they've not come to Jesus for forgiveness and set free from the tyranny of the devil, then this sort of care is not known in this life by them. That's why, you know, when I go to the hospital sometimes and visit saints that are dying, I've been in situations, Andy, where there's a saint in one bed. This person's ready to die. They know they have but a day or two. And, I've been in so many of these situations. I read the scripture and I ask the question, are you confident that the Lord loves you and where you're going? And I get these beautiful replies of, what would I have without my Savior? He saved me. I believe him. I trust him. He's done everything for me. And then, you know, in some of these hospital rooms, you can have two beds in a room. And I've seen families, as I'm reading and praying with one believer, next, in the very next bed is a non-believer, and they're dying, and everyone's in devastation, and there's no perspective, there's no hope, there's no peace, there's no care. They haven't come to the Savior for life. I think that's the worst of predicaments. That just breaks my heart as a pastor. I want to run over there and say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved, and know the peace that surpasses all understanding. But the human heart is one hard, recalcitrant thing, and it will not respond apart from the mercy and grace of the Lord. But I think the point here is that Jesus is watching over his sheep the whole way of their life, that not everything that happens to them is working together for their salvation. Everything, even the hardships, there's a good purpose in. And so the Lord's Day 1, the first question and answer ends by saying, since I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, we have a really strong doctrine of the Holy Spirit in the Reformed churches, assures me of eternal life. The Holy Spirit is working to assure me that I'm a son. And you know what else he does? He equips me. He makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. In other words, the whole course of my life has changed. I'm no longer living for myself. I'm no longer pursuing the darkness of the human nature and corruption that wherever way it wanted to go, I went and do. There's now a bent to do what's right and a desire to do what's right. And the Holy Spirit is equipping me to now learn more and more to deny myself and to be more conformed to the image of Jesus. Because now that I belong to him and have been bought by him, my whole life is being transformed to look like him. And that's just the summary of this catechism right here in question and answer one. That is absolutely beautiful. And I think the answer that people need to have real and lasting comfort in this life. Okay. Now you wanted to get to question two, but I had a lot more to say about the first question.
Well, no, what we'll do is we'll take our time. We're about out of time. So we'll put a bookmark here and we'll pick up on tomorrow's program and continue with more of Lord's Day one, question one, before we move into two. As we do close though, we do want to make the catechism available. And for those, again, who may still have a question about, well, it's not scripture. What I love, Chris, is the annotated notes. Each line in every answer has scriptural references to it. And I'm counting, 10. We've got 10 scripture references just for that one answer alone, right? So it's
right.
It really is just bathed in God's word, isn't it?
They're just summary statements. What it's showing you there is all these scripture references are showing you that the statements made in the Heidelberg Catechism are simply statements taken from scripture and put together so that we can see the bigger picture, right? I mean, we have all these books in the Bible. You take the doctrine and put it together in question answer format. It helps people understand the whole story. And we need that help. That's what pastors do. That's what we're doing every Sunday.
Learning from the Heidelberg Catechism that we might greater understand and know the love of God that he has for us in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon and I spending some time in the Heidelberg, encouraging you. If you have questions about today's program, we'd love to hear from you. And again, there's a couple of ways you can do this. The quickest and easiest is to use your voice memo app on your smartphone. Record the question, your name and where you're calling from, and then email that voice memo to us, questions@agradio.org. Now, you can also reach out to us by phone, 888-504-8805. And if you wish to write, the address is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Now, the reason you might want to reach out to us, as we mentioned in the program today, is to obtain a copy of the Heidelberg Catechism. We do have those available. Simply request it when you call or write to us. And again, the phone number is 888-504-8805, and that address is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Now, as we close out our time together today, I would like to remind you that this broadcast is heard here on this station, in part through friends and family who come alongside of us to support us financially and prayerfully. There is a monetary cost to making sure that these programs air daily here on this radio station. Now, to meet those costs obviously requires some financial resources, which is where you come in. As you partner with us, we're able to continue this ministry on a daily basis. So please pray about that and consider how the Lord might use you to be a financial partner with us here at Abounding Grace. It's all tax deductible. No gift is too small. No gift is too large. one-time gift, or monthly. It all makes a real difference as we continue ministering the gospel of Christ here on Abounding Grace on this radio station. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Until tomorrow, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.